प्रवक्ते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 1, which is the history of the life of Ajami. Text 1. Sri
Parikshit
Uvacha
Nivritti
Margaha
Katita
Adau
Bhagavata
Yatta Brahma Yoga Phalabdhena Brahmana Asamsriti Sri Parikshit Uvacha Nivritti Marga Katita Adau Bhagavata Yata Brahma Yoga Phalabdhena Brahmana Yadda Samsriti Sri Parikshit Uvacha Nivritti Marga Katita Adau Bhagavata Yata Brahma Yoga Phalabdhena
Brahmanayadda Samsriti
Sri Parikshit Uvacha Vritti Marga Katita
Adau Bhagavata Yata
Brahma Yoga Phalabdhena
Brahmanayadda Samsriti Sri Parikshit Uvacha Vritti Marga Katita
Adau Bhagavata Yata
Brahma Yoga Phalabdhena
Vakmanayat Samsti
Sri Parikshit Uvacha Vritti Marga Katita Adau Bhagavata Yata Brahma Yoga Phalabdhena
Sri Parikshit Uvacha Maharaj Parikshit said Nivritti Margaha
The path of liberation
Patitaha Described Adau
In the beginning
Bhagavata
By your holiness
meaning Shukadeva Goswami Yata Duli D-U-L-Y
Duli
Krama
Gradually
Yoga Upalabdhena Obtained by the yoga process Brahmana
Along with Lord Brahma
After reaching Brahmaloka Yet By which way
By which way?
Asamsuktihi.
Asamsuktihi.
Cessation of the repetition of birth and death.
Cessation of the repetition of birth and death.
Translation. Maharaj Parikshit said, O my Lord, O Shukadeva Goswami, you have already described in the second canto, the path of liberation, Nibbiti Marg. By following that path, one is certainly elevated gradually to the higher planetary system, Brahmaloka, from which one is promoted to the spiritual world along with Lord Brahma. Thus, one's repetition of birth and death in the material world ceases. Srila Prabhupada's report. Since Maharaj Pariksit was a Vaishnava, when he heard the description at the end of the fifth canto of the different hellish conditions of life, he was very much concerned with how to liberate the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya and take them back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he reminded his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami, about the Nirvritti Marg, or path of liberation, which he had described in the second canto. Maharaj Pariksit, who at the time of death was fortunate to have met Shukadeva Goswami, inquired from Shukadeva Goswami about the path of liberation at that crucial time. Shukadeva Goswami very much appreciated his question and congratulated him by saying, Variyan eshate prashna kutro lokatam nipa atmavit samata pumsam surta vyadishi yatparaha. My dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial. All kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. This is Bhagavatam 2.1.1, very beginning of the second canto. Pariksit Maharaj was astonished that the living entities in the conditional state do not accept the path of liberation, devotional service, instead of suffering in so many hellish conditions. This is the symptom of a Vaishnava, that is the astonishment. Vanchakalpa trubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha. A Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. Para dukkha dukki, he is unhappy because of the unhappiness of others. Therefore, Pariksit Maharaj, being compassionate for the conditioned soul suffering in hellish life, suggested that Shukadeva Goswami continue describing the path of liberation, which he had explained in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. The word asamsuti is very important in this connection. Samsuti refers to continuing on the path of birth and death. Asamsuti, on the contrary, refers to Nibbiti Marg, or the path of liberation by which one's birth and death ceases and one gradually progresses to Brahmaloka, unless one is a pure devotee who does not care about going to the higher planetary systems, in which case, one immediately returns home back to Godhead by executing devotional service. Chakva deham punarajanma naiti. Pariksit Maharaj, therefore, was very eager to hear from Shukadeva Goswami about the path of liberation for the conditioned soul. According to the opinion of the acharyas, the word krama, yoga kalabhena, indicates that by first performing Karma Yoga and then Jnana Yoga and finally coming to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one can be liberated. Bhakti Yoga, however, is so powerful that it does not depend on Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Bhakti Yoga itself is so powerful that even an impious man with no assets in Karma Yoga or an illiterate with no assets in Jnana Yoga can undoubtedly be elevated by the to the spiritual world if he simply adheres to Bhakti Yoga. Mam Ivaishyasi Yamam Ivaishyasi Asamshayaha, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 8:7, that by the process of Bhakti Yoga, one undoubtedly goes back to Godhead, home to the spiritual world. Yogis, however, instead of going directly to the spiritual world, sometimes want to see other planetary systems, and therefore they ascend to the planetary system where Lord Brahma lives, as indicated here by the word Brahmana. At the time of dissolution, Lord Brahma, along with the inhabitants of Brahmaloka, goes directly to the spiritual world. This is confirmed in the Vedas as follows. Brahmana saha te sarve samprapte kirtisanshare parasyante kittamana parishanti param putam. Quote, because of their exalted position, those who are on Brahmaloka at the time of dissolution go directly back home, back to Godhead, along with Lord Brahma. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Sarasate Deve Gaudavani Pacharani Nivishesha Sunivari Paschacha Devasitani Om Gyanam Timarandasya Ganandana Shrakaya Chatsurum Vivitim Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Vichya Kalpat Vichya Kalpa Sindhu Vyevacha Kitanam Pavane Yo Vaishnavi Yomanamo Namaha. Maharaj Pariksit said, O my Lord, O Sukadeva Goswami, you have already described in the second canto the path of liberation from the Bhakti Marg. By following that path, one is certainly elevated gradually to the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka, from which one is promoted to the spiritual world along with Lord Brahma. Thus one's repetition of birth and death in the material world ceases. Purport, Prabhupada began by pointing out that this question that Maharaj Pariksit was issued, that Maharaj Pariksit was raising, is prompted by his having this heard at the end of the fifth canto. I did a description of the hellish planets. Sinners are punished. I had to sit and listen to this graphic description. Hellish punishments. It's upsetting. For some period of time, we had from Philadelphia the DBT illustrations, these two paintings that had little panels to show the sin you get in hellish punishments. It's in the fifth canto. We got the original paintings. The DBT at first was sending out their paintings to different temples. I used to keep them in my office. These two things they would upset people. I don't know what happened to them. Somebody destroyed them, or swiped them, or something. They disappeared. I used to have them. They were in my office for some time. We had a temple on Winhorn Street. I used to look at them all the time. But it's a good reminder. One understands what happens. So now he's expressing he wants to bring up this part of Nirvritti Marg again, because why should people live in the material world and undergo this this kind of repeated sufferings. So he's reminding him of his Nivritti Mark, which he had described in the second canto. Large part of the second canto is taken up with this description. And it begins with this statement by Shukadeva Goswami, praising Maharaj, which he would inquire, this is in the first canto, what is one's duty at the time of death? What is one supposed to be doing at the time of death? And he praised him for this glorious question. Pittalokantam, being it is beneficial for everybody, your prajna, your inquiry. This prime, supreme subject matter for here. He's very happy that he had asked this question. So in the second canto, there is this description Prabhupada talks about. Krama yoga upalabdhena, that yoga by which one step by krama means sequence, so there's one step after another by which one is elevated. So the second canto describes what Prabhupada somewhere refers to the mystic bhakti yoga. Because there, you remember that first there's a description of the universal form. And that again is suggested that one meditate on this form and by performing yoga practice. And then it was talking about raising the soul through the chakras up to here and then exiting at the right time. This is the process which we talked about. And then there's the whole description of, if you're fixed on God, going back to God, then you go directly there. But if you still maintain some material attachment, although you're on the Nirvikti Marg, but still, you're inquisitive to know about the higher planets, Prabhupada remarked, like a tourist wants to go and see everything by direct local experience. So if you're inquisitive, or you have some material desires, it's not completely, then this is the sequence. And because you're on the Nivritti Mark, you do not go to Indraloka, Chandraloka, places of the sense gratifying deities, where the Karmakandis go. But Mahaloka, Janaloka, Papaloka, and Brahmaloka. Then there's this wonderful description of going to these planets, and then how at the time of dissolution a spaceship comes and everybody up, and the fires come up, carries everybody up from these planets to Brahmaloka, and then Brahma and Brahma is liberated. It seems like you ascend bodily up. And when you go to the coverings of the universe, each material covering is stripped off. Very popular nowadays among the evangelical Christians is this concept of the rapture. They think that at a certain time, all those who are saved will just rise into heaven. I guess it's stated that Jesus, or it's thought that Jesus went up this way. Took off like a rocket ship, and that those who are saved will ascend bodily into heaven at a certain point. Then everybody's left behind, there's a whole tribulation. There's this whole series of books that's popular in America about called Left Behind. Anyway, this is actually where it takes place. This is where this ascending into the spiritual world. It takes place on Brahmaloka, not here. though somebody somewhere must have had a glimpse of that, but not knowing enough where the sutra took place on earth, not knowing. But yeah, so that's where it happens. So this is a gradual path. Here the direct idea is one planet after another. You go up through. And if you read the Bhagavatam, there's a whole Gopa Krishna goes up one after the other and visits these places where the rishis and the sages are. So these planets are higher than that. You enjoy planets, you enjoy the gods. And one performs austerities and then goes up. But what's going to be suggested here is taking directly to the path of Bhakti Yoga. We'll get back to that. But then Prabhupada says that Maharaj Pariksit was astonished that the living entities in the conditional stage of life do not accept the path of liberation and instead go through suffering in so many hellish conditions. So his astonishment is the subject of some comment because he says this is a symptom of Vaishnava. And he quotes the text, Panchakalpas Udhischa, Kripa Sindhubya Evacha. The Vaishnava is Kripa Sindhu, ocean of mercy. And then he quotes Paradukha Dukhi. I was in a lecture where Prabhupada was talking about a devotee in New York City. A devotee has himself, who's advanced, there's no cause for suffering. But Paradukha Dukhi, Dukhi, he suffers, Paradukha, when he sees the sufferings of others. Paradukha Dukhi, he's unhappy because of the unhappiness of others. This phrase comes from Raghunath Das Goswami's qualification of Sanatana Goswami. It's in the early part of the Vilapa Kusa Manjali. Vilapa Kusa Manjali, excuse me. It goes like this. Vairagya Yudhbhakti Rasam Prayatnaya Apaya Yannam Anavir Sum Anham Kripambu Deya Paradukha Dukhi. Kripambu Deya, again ocean, Kripambu Deya Paradukha Dukhi Sanatana Stam Prabhu Aswarami. Translation here is, I was unwilling to drink the nectar of devotional service possessed of renunciation. So it is Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasam. There's a drink, juice, and it's combined of two things, Vairagya and Bhakti. A kind of so these two things that go together, it's Vairagya Yug linked with Bhakti Rasam. So he says here, anabipsu, I did not want to drink this because undone. I was a little blind. So I didn't want to drink this. But prayatnaya apaya, he made me. I was forced, I was made to drink it, was forced. And even though I didn't want to drink it, still he made me. Well, take this now, I don't want it. Here, take it. This is funny from Raghunath Das Goswami, who before he met me, he was already so renounced. And then when he went to Vrindavan, took shelter of Sanatana Goswami, he said, I didn't want to drink it. But he made me drink this. out of his unconscious attitudes. Being an ocean of mercy. He describes him as part of Rupa Dhiti. And therefore, I take shelter of my master, Sanatana Stam Prabhu Mahasayani, take shelter of the spiritual master, Sanatana Goswami. So that's where this comes from. It's particularly talking about Raghunath Das Goswami, talking about Sanatana Goswami, the beginning of this poem when we talk about surrendering to his verses and praise of Yadunandana Acharya, who was his family guru, and then Lord Chaitanya Swarup Damodar, and then Sanatana Goswami, Paribhuta Bhuti. This should be the characteristic of a Vaishnava, that he cares about others. This is also expressed, of course, by Mahaprabhu. It's interesting that Krishna is feeling all bliss and his only business is to enjoy. Nevertheless, because he has all good qualities, Krishna also has this kripa, mercy for others, compassion. But it's not appropriate that Krishna Vrindavan should be suffering. So therefore, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's what he expresses it. When he takes the form of devotee, then he's free to express this, because it's the devotees who Prabhupada describes as representing Krishna's mercy, or expressing Krishna's mercy. So when Krishna wants to express it himself, he also takes the form of a devotee. But you see, like for example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the 7th chapter of Adiyuga, the desire tree of devotional service, where Mahaprabhu, there's what's called literary criticism of conceit. That is a very long, elaborate metaphor of the desire tree of devotional service that's growing up. Mahaprabhu is the gardener, he's planted this tree, it's growing, it's going to produce all this fruit, and he's in such anxiety, who will pick this fruit when he comes? He wants help. He tells people to do this. So this is expressed by Mahaprabhu. So now, he said, Parikshit Maharaj being compassionate for the conditioned soul suffering in hellish life, just that Shukadeva Goswami continue describing the path of liberation. So he did not enjoy this part of the Bhagavatam. In the Middle Ages, it's described, I think it's in Thomas Aquinas' Summa Theologica, it's described that one of the pleasures of the souls in heaven is to watch performance, the dance. It really is. It's there. The one that really called attention to this was Nietzsche, who then said that Christianity was a religion of resentment. But that was considered to be one of the fringe benefits. You got to watch. Nasty. Anyway. Here, at least, we don't see this kind of... There may be, not just to blame Christianity, but there may be Puranas or other places in this tradition that also, they say something like that. Because it's a certain platform. With these kinds of things that have a pure devotee. Cannot stand it. Well, I had an interesting time with the Vaishnava Christian dialogue. We got to talking about this. And I think that I pointed out that in Vaishnavism, ultimately we're optimistic that ultimately everybody goes back to God. But I described it as no soul left behind. That for Krishna, anyway, it's unbearable to him to think that there should be some of his jivas who are permanently and eternally alienated. Therefore, he's always making these arrangements to bring them back, even though it's not all, of course, Vaishnavas who think like that. I mean, Madhvacharya seems to say that as people go down, as in the Bhagavad Gita, puts them in lower and lower stages of existence, and you can say from that that that's it, they never come back up again. But at least we understand it, even though they go down for a long time, it's not permanent. Even Krishna comes and kills them, that's also one way of saving them. Prabhupada remarked somewhere, if you have to hate Krishna, because Krishna will come and kill you, and then you'll be saved. And because anything in connection with Krishna is ultimately auspicious, whatever it is. So the devotees really do not want to see anybody suffer. And actually cannot bear it. Devotees who are young are often so preoccupied with their own difficulties that they have no time for anybody else. And that is why it's good for them to serve somebody who's more advanced. And by serving that person they act to help other people. I remember one devotee telling me that he would go out every day and Harinam in the early days. He said it was very hard for him because he would see these karmis walk by, guys with good looking girls and everything, and he would envy them. It was hard for him to feel compassion for the votes, so he wanted to be one of them. Because he still had so many desires for sense gratification in his heart. And he told me about this problem, which was understandable. And then it leads people to overreact and then become really harsh. Sometimes turn them off, like you said. But even though one is not feeling particularly compassion, and maybe one may even envy sense gratifiers in the early stages, if one's serving an advanced devotee, one will still act in a compassionate way, even if one does not feel it. Either you're envious of them, that's one thing. Or another thing is you're so preoccupied with your own difficulties. You have no time for anybody else. But then when you get past all that and see. So the one meaning of this this Nivritti Marg that's described here is about this step-by-step or gradual progress to Brahmaloka in the second canto of the different higher planets. But Prabhupada says, if one is a pure devotee, then he can immediately return back home by executing devotional service. Chakpadeham Pradharma. Krishna says there, if you simply understand my janma and karma, there's no more janma and karma for you. Understanding that. And purport of Prabhupada seems to suggest it simply means accepting it on faith. It's sufficient. The Krishna's birth and activities, form, pastimes are all transcendental. Then Prabhupada says, according to the opinion of the acharyas, so he's quoting from somebody's commentary, the word Krama Yoga Upalabdhena indicates that by first performing Karma Yoga and then Jnana Yoga and finally coming to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one can be liberated. So that's another sequence. Karma Jnana Bhakti sequence. Somebody, if you want to find out who?
Not
this says according to the opinion of the acharyas.
And it seems to be extracted from the idea that it seems to be Prabhupada's extraction from the idea that if Krama Mukti means you go through all the stages, it means you're following this path.
Maybe.
That one says that explicitly.
But even if so, because sometimes it's true. I mean, this is, I think, after many lifetimes. I mean, the Vedic system is designed like this in a way that you start out being pious and you perform sacrifice, karma yoga. But then the whole system of karma yoga is designed that if you start to understand the meaning of sacrifice, as it describes in the Bhagavad Gita, then you become interested in knowledge, jnana. And then you finally come to the platform of jnana. If you really understand that, it comes from completing that, then bhakti. And it is, it's a dialectic of trying to enjoy the world in a pious way, meaning turn away of renouncing the world, and then finally coming to the final stage of where the world is neither enjoyed nor renounced. Here, Prabhupada using, for example, the expression of Nivritti Marg, seen here, as the path of liberation. This is in contrast to Prabhupada Marg, right? Prabhupada Marg, the path of enjoying, accepting the world, and Nivritti Marg, path of liberation. In some places, Prabhupada has said that bhakti is beyond both Prabhupada Marg and Nivritti Marg. Thinking Pravritti Marg is applying to the Karma Yoga, Karma Kanda section of Vedas, and Nivritti Marg to Jnana, where the world is rejected, you know, radically rejected, so radically that it doesn't exist. It's about the lowest devalorization you can pull off to say something doesn't exist. But in bhakti, the world is neither enjoyed nor renounced. It's engaged in Krishna service. So the world comes back, but it's a different world. The world that the karmis enjoy and the world that the jnanis reject are both unreal worlds. It's a world that's separated from Krishna. Bhakti is attained and everything is seen in relation to the world, but it's not really the illusory world that's either enjoyed or renounced. That's for Krishna's energy.
It's very novel.
Huh?
It's very novel. It's endless.
Oh, the Acharya who said that?
The Acharya who connects it to Karma Yoga and Shanti.
Hira Raga.
It's very novel. It's Sri Vaishnava.
Okay. Yeah, you could say that karma yoga is world enjoying, jnana yoga is world rejecting, and bhakti yoga is world transforming. It is, because and Prabhupada describes it as the re-spiritualization of matter. Anyway, Prabhupada says that bhakti is so powerful that it does not depend on karma yoga or jnana yoga. That somebody is in karma bhakti, even if they're completely impious, that is, there's no history of pious activity. Usually there is. What's the end? What's that verse at the end of the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Janam Kunya Karma. Yeah. Janam Kunya Karma. Do the anyway, that these things have to be there. Usually, this history of pious activity, sins are eradicated. So, with no assets in karma yoga, or no literacy, says, with no assets in jnana yoga, apparently, to be a jnana, you have to be able to read, not only read, but read Sanskrit, not only Sanskrit, but Shankaracharya. You have no assets, no piety, no knowledge. Can undoubtedly be elevated to the spiritual world if he simply adheres to bhakti yoga. We have that, what I call the charter verse for this Kiratavananda Purana, it's all these tribal people who have no karma and jnanas can become yogis. Then Prabhupada finally in the purport reverts to the summary. If you practice bhakti yoga, you go back home directly. Yogis, just yogis now, sometimes want to see other planetary systems, ascend to the planetary system where Brahma lives, and then at the time of dissolution, goes with Brahma to the spiritual world. Then he quotes the Vedas, where he doesn't say which Veda it is, where it comes from. You find that out. Anyway, so he says here that they go back home, back to Godhead with the Lord Brahma. Okay. So he brings this up by following this path. You were talking about that before. Let's change the subject, basically. We've gone through all these hellish planets and talked about the deep sabbaths. Now let's change the subject. You were talking about this. Now he wants some further inquiry. So anyway, he'll go on to rehearse what's been said before in the Bhagavatam a little bit for the next few verses. And now he describes once and over the record how people can become free from other sufferings. Okay. Anything else? Anything more to say?
Strikes me that so much emphasis is going to be going into the fifth canto now when Richard didn't really like you all that much.
Well, just to say he didn't like it, but that particular part of hellish suffering, it just caused him pain to think about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fifth canto is showing how the universe looks when you see it in connection with Krishna. As far as I can understand, it's a way of looking at the universal form. I think it's cosmic biology, for the most part. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, it was there. You have some people think that we should not be so concerned with it. But on the other hand, if here's Maharaj Parikshit and he has such a short time to live, and he asks sitting with Shukadeva Goswami, why bother with all this stuff? Why not go straight to the quote unquote nectar, which is advocated by many people, the Gaudiya Vaishnava community. But Maharaj Parikshit didn't do it. And Prabhupada's position is that everything, because it's in relationship to Krishna, is interesting and worthwhile. There's a higher position. And you don't want to reject all this stuff. You don't even like the Bhagavad Gita. It's also a way of advertising your own advancement in a kind of indirect ways. People like to do some type of stuff. Okay? Prabhupada, please.